salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 19, verse number 29. Luke 19, verse number 29. The Lord's been at Jericho. He's at Jericho, rather. He's dealt with Zacchaeus. He's come to his house. He saves Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus gives great testimony. There are those at hand that think that Jesus is going to usher in the kingdom of the Lord. They don't understand what the Old Testament scriptures say, all of what Messiah would do, and his sacrifice for sinners by the sacrifice of himself on Calvary. He speaks a parable about a nobleman and his servants and the citizenry at hand in his domain. And then he ascends up, it says in verse 28, to Jerusalem. Now, from Jericho, we would know that Jericho is west of Jerusalem. And how is it that it says here, ascending up to Jerusalem? Well, that's always the thing. That's always the reference of the Jews. They always go up to Jerusalem, not only when they're in the south, but when they're in the north, they go up to Jerusalem. You and I, we're used to, in our culture, our country, our vernacular, that we talk about going down if we go south, or we go up if we go north. The way we look at it on a map, say on the wall, we go over if we go to the east, or over if we go to the west. But there, Jerusalem being held in esteem as she is, Zion, the city of David, the city of God, you always go up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built on mountains that are there, and so there is that ascension somewhat to the city, being first established, as we understand it, back in the days of Abraham. There the city is named Salem. Melchizedek is there. He's the king of Salem, the king of peace. That's what Salem means. And then from that time, somewhere on, it becomes a fortified type of city, the Jebusites living there and so on. And so, you always go up to Jerusalem. You always go up to Jerusalem. Of course, David, in the day of his, kingdom, he took Jerusalem after about 7 or 8 years being king, and that became the capital, as it should be, and is the capital of Israel. And the city of our Lord even this day. There are those that don't believe that, but that is just the truth. In Luke 19:29, and it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. And so here we have it. We're going to see some things here that we've never seen before out of the Lord Jesus and his ministry. We're going to see an attitude of his change in this. It's a glorious thing that's going to take place. But we see these two cities there from Jericho, going from Jericho, heading west to Jerusalem. There around the Mount of Olives, these cities are there. There at the base of the Mount of Olives, over to the east, southeast, towards Jericho. And they come to these towns, one of these towns or so, or outside of the town. They're close. And he sends two of his disciples in verse 30 saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither." And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And so the Lord holds up there going into these cities, and he says to, we believe Peter or John or Peter and James or James and John, I think there's indication in other gospels and in the gospels that tell us this. Nevertheless, it's two of his apostles. And he tells them, you're going to go into the town and you're going to find a colt tied, a foal, and no man's ever sat on him and or ridden on him, and only the Lord would know that. And he says, untie him and bring him to me. Now we understand in other parts of the other gospels too is that this colt is with its mother. I think that we understand that that's the case, and the Lord Jesus knows that no one's ever ridden upon him. He tells him, he said, if any man asks you, what are you doing? Why are you loosing the colt? Say to them, because the Lord hath need of him. That's your reply. That's what you're to say. And people being people, can you imagine these brethren walking that way? And said, and every indication we have in the scripture is that the Lord Jesus walked. It's not to say that he didn't ride at times, but the indication we have in the scripture, we don't have any indication that says he ever rode before. And understand, it's the Lord Jesus. This isn't the idea of the disciples. This is the idea, from what we understand in the scriptures, of the Lord. The Lord says, go do this. Go get that colt. And it says in verse 32, and they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And what do you think that they talked about on the way? What's he want with the colt? What are we going to do with the colt? People being people, we would expect. They were obedient. I'm not saying that they doubted about what to do, but we are curious folk. We want to know why. And as they were loosing, verse 33, the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? Why are you untying the colt? And so the men were there. The colt was there, just like the Lord said. No one had been sent beforehand. We understand from the scriptures. We don't understand the scripture. Understand from the scriptures that when anybody was sent ahead. But the Lord knew the colt was there. And what if you're these two men? They've been with the Lord for 3 years or so. They know that the Lord has never lied unto them. They know the Lord has great power. And once again, the Lord shows that he knows everything. He knows every detail. Sure enough, there were men that were standing there, and they said, why loose ye the colt? And they said, as the Lord told them, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. And so it says in other gospels, it said, they were satisfied. They let him go. They bring him to Jesus and cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. So they start taking their clothes, and as was typical in this day, they would have a coat that they would wear, especially traveling like this, because sometimes in the travel, no doubt, there might be times that they might have to camp out, depending on the time of the year, the season. That's always a possibility. That they would have to camp out. And this time of the year, as we understand, it's into winter, coming on spring. Their weather is about like our weather here in the States, give or take. And so they would wear a coat, and then they would have another coat on top of that, or wrapping, that they would call a cloak. And so it seems like they begin to take their coats and their cloaks and put them, shawls and wrappings that they would have, putting them on the colt, and they set Jesus on the colt. And this is at the directive of the Lord Jesus Christ. Either the Lord tells them to do so, or they're just compelled to do so. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And the Spirit of God is upon these people. they see the Lord Jesus as he's on that colt. Maybe there's a glory of the Lord that is shining, not necessarily like the Mount of Transfiguration, but they just know. They know that he's king. They know that he's king. And they know he's to be glorified and honored, and they begin to do that. And so they take their coats, having put them in their clothes, and put them on the colt, and Jesus is on it, and they start taking their other coats and cloaks and what they have, and they're spreading them on the ground, on the road, as the colt walks there. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, what they'd seen him do. So now all the disciples are exclaiming and proclaiming the glory of the Lord Jesus, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The disciples, as this is going on, it tells us in other places in the Gospels that they took palm leaves and they put them down too. And no doubt that they would gather up their clothes. There would be those that would put them down and gather up their clothes and run ahead. And Bethpage and Bethany is some 4 miles from Jerusalem. And as they're coming down that at the base of the Mount of Olives, it says, even now the descent, there's a place where they're up higher and coming down on the road, heading towards Jerusalem. These disciples, they just begin to glorify and praise God. It tells us in other places that they cry, "Hosanna, save now. Blessed is he that, blessed be the kingdom of our Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David, or our King David. He that cometh in the name of the Lord, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And they're glorifying the Lord, saying, "Blessed be the King." They referred to him as King. "That cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." The Lord had just told them about this parable and of the nobleman that's going to go away. And they don't understand all of that yet. But here we have the Lord Jesus. All in his ministry, the Lord Jesus has always deferred all glory to the Father. He said to Jairus and his wife, "Don't tell anybody that I raised your daughter from the dead." Peter, James, and John, "Don't tell anybody about what you've seen on the Mount of Transfiguration and my glory until I be risen from the dead." The lepers, "Go to the priest and offer what Moses commanded." The demoniac at Gadara, "You go home and you tell what great things God hath done for thee." The rich young ruler, "Good master, the Lord Jesus says, why you call me good? There's none good save God." He always is deferring. Always deferring the glory and the praise until this day. The King of Israel has come. The Savior of the world has come, and he's heading to do the thing that is essential, that needs to be done for the salvation of sinners. It's a very modest and humble thing, the Lord riding on a foal, on the colt of a donkey, with the people's clothes on top of it, and the clothes being laid out in the way. It's a very humble thing. It is. It's a lowly thing, as Jesus came, meek and lowly. But at the same time, oh, can't you see that it is a glorious thing too? Here comes the King. Here comes the King. The King has come, meek and lowly, but yet he is worthy the praise of his people and of his creation in the world. And there are those there that doubt, even these Pharisees and the multitude. They call on the Lord Jesus to rebuke his people. We'll have to see about that next time. I see their time has passed for now. May our good Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Rill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.